We are so blessed. Oftentimes, we don't realize what we have in our lives. I think many times it's because we are spoiled as individuals. And there's nothing wrong from time to time being spoiled, but I think about our present situation, even with the pandemic. I'm so thankful that God has allowed us still to congregate here today. There's many people in today's world that are hurting. A lot of people are depressed and discouraged, and our eyes sometimes can get confused on what's really important and what is not. And I'm so thankful to recognize that today we are a blessed people, especially as we know Jesus Christ as Savior. Today, especially towards the end of today's message, you'll realize, I think, hopefully, how blessed you and I truly are as we know Christ, as we are following Him as Savior and Lord. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Today we are going to be continuing our series entitled, Understanding the Times is the name of the title, and it's dealing with living courageously in the times in which we find ourselves. It's not working? Oh, there it goes. There we go. Thank you. The last couple of weeks, we have been considering, while there are things that are happening upon this earth during the Great Tribulation, there's also things that are happening in heaven. Of course, right before the tribulation, God raptures the church. The church is consisting of those people that know Jesus Christ as Savior, have put their faith, their belief system, their confidence in Him. The first thing we took a look at last week, dealing with the judgment seat of Christ. Shortly after the rapture, that judgment seat or the bema seat will actually happen. Today we're going to take a look at another part of that, dealing with another very special event that will take place right before actually we come back with Christ at His second coming. And we'll take a look at that here in Revelation chapter 19, beginning in verse 6. It's not going there, Jacob. Nope. Right there. That's fine. Right there. There we go. All right. Revelation chapter 19, beginning of verse 6. It says, "Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, 'Alleluia! For our God, for the Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory.'" I'd like to actually say that together as a church family here, because that one day we'll actually say that all together in unison. It helps to get a little bit of practice, all right? I don't know if they're going to have a screen like this in heaven, but it'll be amazing nonetheless. Maybe God will just put it into our hearts, all right? So let's say this. "Alleluia, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory." Continuing on in verse 7, it says, "For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready." Next slide, verse 8. It's not going there. There we go. "Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her," that is the church, "to wear. The fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people." And then it continues on. "Then the angel said to me, 'Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb.' And he added, 'These are the true words of God.'" Of course, the event that I am referring to is the wedding supper of the Lamb. And here, of course, it's talking about the time period that God will gather His bride. It could be, a lot of people say it's maybe mid-trib. I don't exactly know how time is measured in heaven. It's measured probably a little different than we are, at least down here with our timetable that we have. This is one of the most incredible prophetic events that will happen that is mentioned in prophecy, especially regarding the church. Right now, I look at this time, at least upon this earth, the time is an engagement period between Christ and also His bride. He is preparing us. He is making an incredible effort to purify us so that we would not have spot or wrinkle or any such blemish, but that we should be purified. And God is calling us to that sanctified life, to be different in mind and actions. And He is calling us to this, I believe, to this point in time where it will be an acclimation of everything that he would have us to experience. And you say, "Pastor Dave, well, how do you know it's going to be all Christians?" Well, it's described as the marriage supper of the what? Of the Lamb. And Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. And therefore, everybody that has been saved, everybody that has placed their faith in Him, will be part of that amazing reception and the marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus has an intense love for us, and hopefully we have a deep-seated love for Him as well. And God wants us to be united, I believe, in that mind, in that effort, and recognizing that one day we will be with Him for all eternity. But I recognize this, there is a time here, and I don't exactly know how much longer that Christ will tarry His coming, but I recognize this whenever I, especially I proposed to my wife Elise, and we waited, I think it was about 8 or 9 months before we actually, the wedding date, alright? So I was looking forward to that day. It was an anticipation time, it was an engagement period, a betrothal period, and we were looking for that day that we could always be together. You realize that there is a day coming that one day, because of this love, because of this incredible redemption that God has given to us, that we will be with God forever and ever, time without end. And this is one of the great things that we're going to be taking a look at this morning, dealing with this marriage supper of the Lamb. The bride and the groom, they always want to be close to each other. And I know that especially as young people, as you date, as you start to get to know a little bit better, my oldest daughter, she's starting to date, God help me. And it's a good thing, but you see different things, and you're like, it's like new love, and it's like, it's blossoming and different things like that. And sometimes, us as we've got older sometimes in our relationship, sometimes we just take that for granted. That newness of that love maybe has worn up off, but maybe it's a little bit deeper of a love that God has given to us for our spouses. The bride and the groom, they always want to be together. And such will be the day whenever Christ comes back for His church and we are at this amazing reception. Jesus will fetch His beloved church home one day whenever God the Father tells Him to come back for His bride. Time is short. And therefore we need to make sure that we are preparing our way and making our hearts and our minds pure before God. I'm reminded what it mentions in Ephesians chapter 5, that God wants to have His church, His bride, prepared glorious. It's going to be an amazing, spectacular event. He mentions the relationship between a husband and wife there and what that looks like and how Christ gave Himself for us, the church, and how He loves us so much. And I believe this reception will be part of that incredible love that He has for each one of us. I would like us to consider this morning about the marriage supper of the Lamb, three observations here from our text. And I hope that these things stick with you because, again, these are futuristic events that we haven't experienced yet, but are definitely going to be in, will come about in time. First, I want you to notice, see if this thing is working. I'll just raise my hand like this, Jacob, since it's not working, I think, this morning. I want you to first notice the act of worship. Worship and incredible sounds. Now this morning, it was good worship, but there's a day coming when there'll be thousands upon thousands and even perhaps millions of individuals that will declare God and give Him praise with their lips. There is going to be a thunderous, basically, noise in heaven. The day that I believe we say these things, maybe even that we sing during this time as well, and our hearts will be overwhelmed with this aspect of worship. I think about perfected sounds. I know some of us have a lower register whenever we sing, like a bass, maybe it's an alto, soprano, tenor, we have different things like that. But in that day, everybody's voice will be perfected. I don't think anybody will be off pitch. They won't sing like that. It'll be an incredible tone that God will bring about. And it actually talks about in our text about being like a thunderous noise. So that has the idea that our voices all collectively together will resonate glory to God. Listen, even the best amplified systems that we have in the world will fail in comparison to that day. Can you imagine, like, especially like with stadiums? I know that we have those today. Football stadiums that we go to, maybe close like Penn State, and you get those places filled. Can you imagine having that stadium filled and maxed out in capacity and loudness just beyond volume that you can think of, and then all of a sudden you can multiply that by thousands more? And this is the idea of heaven around this spectacular event as the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we'll be all declaring things of God that will just be incredible and will give Him glory. What a day that will be. If you notice, we didn't read it this morning, but in verse 5, it's actually an invitation to come and praise the Lord. So everybody during this time, it's like a cultivation. I don't exactly know if we'll be seated. I think that we probably will. It's the best way probably to eat. I don't know if we'll be mingling. That we won't have to worry about COVID during that time period, I promise you. And we'll be mingling. I don't know exactly if we'll have name tags, but whatever will be done decently in order, and it'll be a spectacular event. All of our praise is directed to our host. The marriage supper of the what? Of the Lamb. All of our attention, all of our adoration, all of our worship will be geared to the one who is our host. That made this banquet, that made this reception even possible, that allows us to be with Him. And I am so thankful for that day that is soon to come. And we will literally be able to visibly see Him. You know what? That's something that no person in and of their flesh, no person has seen God at any what? At any time. But during this time period specifically, we'll be able to see the Lamb of God that sits upon the throne, but also who is our host at this incredible reception. We'll be able to see Jesus. We'll be able to see God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And what a day that will be. And I'm so thankful that our lives are changed because of the worship. Even on a very small scale, our worship is going to compare to that which is, takes place in heaven. Secondly, I want us to notice here, it's already given to us, the wardrobe. The wardrobe, or the clothes that we will have at this reception. The clothes that the church is given. We are going to be given fine garments, clean garments, spectacular garments. These will be the most beautiful and radiant clothes that you have ever seen. This will be spectacular, more spectacular than any wedding parties. This coming weekend I'm going to be doing, I think, a wedding, performing a wedding ceremony. And they, especially the groom's party as well as the bride's party, they take great preparations in making themselves presentable specifically for the bride and the groom. Everybody gets very, very excited during this time period. Everybody comes down. Usually the bridesmaids come down. The grooms and the groomsmen are standing up here. It's a spectacular event to witness and to see. But I would submit to you during this specific day, the church, we are going to be decked out. We're all going to look GQ. We're going to look spectacular. And it's not just because of who we are. It's not necessarily because of just the works that we have done in and of ourselves. It is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, I'm reminded about this, that everything that we have, that of the actions that portray Christ and that honored Him in our lives, these are washed, I believe, in the blood of the Lamb, and therefore we are given garments, these fine garments, more finer than any wedding dress could imagine, is given to us, the church. The church will be shining, will be pure, we'll be holy because God has ordained it that we are in and through Him. We'll be holy and our clothes will literally reflect this. There's special days in our lives, and this is one of the things, our wardrobe, it'll be changed forever. Now, I don't exactly know, some people have asked me in the past, not recent days, but in the past, they said, how will our clothes not get dirty? I don't know if we're going to, it's like polishing our halo or something. I don't know about that, but we will be purified through Christ, and it'll be a spectacular event. Even the clothes that we have right now will fail in comparison. Even royalty, the things that people on this earth have, will fail in comparison to the things that God will give us that day at the reception of the Lamb. Lastly, I want us to notice those people that are invited to this reception, to the wedding supper of the Lamb, to the wedding supper of the Lamb. I want us to recognize this. We will all be witnesses of God's great love for us. In fact, it talks about us being blessed. There's a lot of things, a lot of words or terms that are thrown around today. Blessed is one of those things that I see like in signs. I go to Hobby Lobby and different things. This home is blessed and different things like that. And that's true, especially if you know Jesus Christ the Savior. But one of the great things that God will have us to do that day is just to witness all the spectacular things that will happen at the event. In fact, the scripture says, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed are you. So First of all, I think about this. If you're invited, that means you were given an invitation, right? And you'll know who you are. I'm guessing by the robe that you have on. It'll be different than the angels. And I'm not saying that angels may not be present there. I don't know. But it talks about the church basically being impacted here and basically being in this place. And the reception is going to be just spectacular. So it's spectacular and you're blessed. You're going to be a witness of all these things. First of all and foremost, I believe because you were invited. And secondly, I think about this. The food. The food is going to be off the chart. Now, I don't know what it's going to be like in heaven. I don't know if it's going to be like Thanksgiving, all right? I don't know if it's going to be like turkey and with the stuffing and all the trimmings. But whatever it is, it's going to be spectacular. I don't know if it's going to be like manna. It's like the angel's bread, and we'll actually be able to taste what they tasted in the Old Testament, the children of Israel. I don't know, but it's sweet to the taste. So I don't know the banquet that we'll actually have. I don't even know, maybe it'll be something, some type of food that we wish that we had on earth. Maybe it'll actually taste like those things. I don't know, but it'll be spectacular. The diet, the cuisine there that day, and I don't even know who's preparing all this food. I'm thinking, maybe it is the angels. I don't know. But God is making a very special effort for us on this specific day. So you have here the invitation, you have the food, you have the decor. Of course, a lot of times our wives or our moms, they make special arrangements. Maybe it's for Valentine's or maybe it's for an anniversary. I don't know. But sometimes we have candle lights and different things like there. There's flowers and different things of that nature. I don't know exactly what this banquet will look like, but it will be spectacular. It'll be more incredible than your mind can comprehend. Also, I think about our family. I think about this. I don't know how long this table is. But this banquet, I mean, it has to be pretty big, don't you think? I think it'll have millions of people there. And the amazing thing is, we'll be able, I believe, to actually see church family there. Oh, next week we're having a picnic and a service up here at Creekside Hideaway, and we're going to have like circular type of tables, and we're all around and we see each other from a distance. Maybe it'll be like that, and I'll be like, Marvin! You know, something like that. I don't know what that looks like, but there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be rejoicing and celebrating, all because of what Jesus has done for us. Spectacular day. A day unlike any other in history. But the best thing about that day will be our host. Just seeing Jesus. I don't know if he's going to be at the head of the table or in the middle of the table. I hope we can see him. Everybody can get a glimpse of him. I don't know what that looks like. But our host, he will be so gracious. We will be so thankful. I think about this during times that we're able to spend time with family and friends. Most of the time it's around holidays. Think about special banquets such as Christmas time. Yesterday, my wife and I were walking, and she goes, you know what? We need to do the Christmas. Well, we're planning to go to a cabin this year with her in-laws, Lord willing. And she's like, we need to do the Christmas feast, which basically means she wants my help with this. And she was going down already the list. Ham. All right, we need potatoes. We need green bean casserole, corn casserole, homemade bread. And I'm like, well, this all sounds good to me right now. And already, and again, here we're talking, you know, over 4 months from now. But right now, we're already planning this in our mind's eye, the things that we can prepare ourselves for. And what a time it is whenever we get with family and friends. And we share memories and we make new ones. During this reception, it'll be an incredible event where all the family of God will be there and will rejoice in our Savior, our Redeemer, who has cleansed us, and we are never the same. As glorified Christians, the people of God will finally fulfill one of their purposes that we were created for, which is a complete, unbroken fellowship with God. If I could have the picture, if it comes up, Jacob, with the lion. You see that one? Oh, it works. No, it's not working. Go one more. There you go. Now it's the next slide. This is such a cool slide if they get it up. It shows the appearance of a lion coming down a staircase. and seeing the bride. And it doesn't give the face of the bride, but it just shows basically her adornment, her clothing. And I think about this today because there is a day coming that our hearts will be totally blessed because that's how Jesus sees us. Even I think about this today, that's how God the Father sees us. Even though we are imperfect people, we offend Him on a constant basis. But this is how He looks through us, through the purity of His Son. And I don't know about you, but I am definitely looking forward to this day. Obviously because of our Savior, for the things that He gives to us, for the worship, for the wardrobe, for the witness, but also because of the reception, what that's all going to include, all these details down to the last thing. There it is right there. Isn't that a spectacular picture? I love that picture. We don't see ourselves like that, at least I don't. I think of oftentimes the bride, even though this is often the church we struggle, and maybe our garments are a little tattered, and maybe, so to speak, the bride maybe is a high heel that's broken off to the side, and we're imperfect. But not that day. Not that day. We will be purified, and we will be known even as we are known because of what Christ has done for us. Let that sink in a little bit. That's our future destiny. Isn't that incredible? I'm looking forward to this day. How about you? Will you be there for this day, for this marriage supper of the Lamb? I'm reminded of what it says in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, about those people that have not experienced Christ, those people that don't have an intimacy, a relationship, an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, it says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come." In other words, the invitation is still open during this age of grace to say, please come. Listen to what the Word of God is telling you. Listen to the gospel that Jesus Christ came into the world to sacrifice Himself for your sins. Yes, the sins of the world, but specifically for your sins. Listen to that message. He says, those people that have ears, let them hear. It goes on to say in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, "He who is thirst, let him come. Whosoever desires, let him take of the water freely." Today, we, as individuals, we are given the choice. We are given the opportunity to respond to the Spirit's leading. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior today, in the world in which we live, with all the pandemics, with the fires that are happening in California, with the economic collapse and instabilities, with all these things, all the chaotic things in our world, we need to wake up. You need to wake up and see that there is a God who loves you and He wants you to become part of His bride. Some people say, well, Jesus Christ will come back whenever the Father says, but whenever the last possible person, whoever that may be. And I think that there is obviously truth to that. Only God knows that. But I think about this. Could it be you that God is waiting for? Could it be you? How will you respond to the Spirit's leading? The Spirit and the bride, that's the bride, that's us. We say, come. Don't think about necessarily what other people will think of me. That shouldn't be even in our mind. We should be more consumed and concerned about what Christ thinks of us. For those of us who know Christ, are we telling other people about the good news, about the gospel, so that they can be present at this marriage supper of the Lamb as well? Is the good news still good news to you? Sometimes we hear it so frequently, whether it's on the radio or TV or in church, that we've just taken our salvation, we've taken our God too often for granted. If you know Christ as Savior, are you using your spiritual gifts so that others may be influenced by His presence and also by His power? Spectacular day that will be. I want all of you to be there. A day unlike any other, the beauty, the spectacular arrangements that will be given. And I want all of you to be there. Aren't you thankful for Jesus today? All these things that He has given to us, we're not worthy of, but He gives them to us anyway.